I know it's here somewhere. Finally. Oh, it's time for the doctor. You're listening to Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. Take it away, doctor.
Well, it's that time again, and the doctor is in. It's time once again for Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. I'm glad you could join us again this week. This is the first show after the death of Windows XP. Alas, poor Windows XP, we knew ye well. Yes, indeed, Windows XP is dead as of the 8th, which is just this past week. So it's all over now, folks. Send it saddle home. Yep. We are proud members of the Tech Podcast Network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's right here on Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon. It's kind of, I have mixed feelings about Windows XP being dead. You know? I can remember when it was the latest, greatest, hottest operating system out there, and I was like, wow, this is so cool. And now it's dead. But, alas. Anyway, you can tell I'm all broken up over it, of course. But at any rate, the big thing I wanted to mention is that it, now that it is dead, you need to get off of it immediately. Now, the problem, of course, is all of those gray-haired grandpas and grandmas out there, you know who they are, they are using Windows XP because that's what they got when they bought their old computer, which is now very old, and yet they're still using it to surf the web and read Facebook and, you know, go to Amazon and buy a bunch of stuff and all those good things. Well, they need to replace that. And if they are not computer savvy at all, then it's up to you, I'm pointing at you, to go over there and fix it for them. Now, if all they're doing is surfing the web and reading their web-based email and, you know, stuff of that nature, for goodness sake, put them on Linux. Now, I know some of you that may be watching, you know, some of you are super tech dudes and dudettes. That's cool. But some of you are like, well, I don't know. So, you know, you're not too sure if you could put them on Linux. Let me show you how simple it is. I'm going to show you a demo right now of Linux Mint being installed. Now, I'm going to install it in a VirtualBox session. Don't let that throw you, okay? I know some of you have never used VirtualBox, but it just gives me an opportunity to install the operating system in a window, in a box, that will allow us to see it and see what it's like to install it without actually having to have a machine that we're going to, you know, wipe and put the operating system on permanently. But it will show you just how simple it is to resurrect your grandpa or grandma's computer and make it safe once again. Let's go to that.
Okay, so what I'm doing here is in VirtualBox, I'm creating a new virtual machine, and let's go ahead and pick a gig of memory. We're going to create a virtual hard drive, and we're going to allow it to be dynamically allocated. I'm going to go ahead and give us 20 gig because that's around the size of a typical machine that might have Windows XP on it. So we're going to go ahead and do that, and we're going to start. Linux Mint will boot in just a few seconds. Now, obviously, if you're doing this to a Windows XP machine, I would encourage you, in fact, I would demand that you go ahead and back up all your data first, all right? Because otherwise, you're going to be very, very sad, and I don't want you to say, Dr. Bill didn't tell me to back up. Yes, I did. All right. We're starting Linux Mint, and boom, there it is. Now, you see how painless that was? Now, I know you said, yeah, but Dr. Bill, all that VirtualBox stuff. Well, if you didn't use VirtualBox, if you just burned the ISO to a DVD and you booted off of it, it would come up that quickly and easily. It is painless. Okay? All right. Let's be calm out there, all right? But here's what I want you to see. It booted in this, what I'll call demo mode, all right? It is a mode where you can explore Linux Mint a bit without committing to the install. When it's time to install, you just click this and it will install it on your hard drive. But it will overwrite your hard drive unless you choose to install it into a separate partition, but that's a whole other thing. But for right now, we're talking about newbies. We're talking about people that aren't familiar with Linux. Probably, if they went through this installation, they would install it over their data, which is why you back up, right? Okay, now this is Linux Mint in the Mate, M-A-T-E, interface, okay? So let's look down here at the menu. Look at that menu. You've got a menu button down here in the corner where you expect it. You have the Firefox web browser. You have Thunderbird. Some of you that are already open source folks that use Windows XP, these are familiar programs to you. If they're not, then they should be. So let's open our web browser. Now here's the thing. Let's say that you are a complete newbie, but you just want to go to Facebook. You are Joe Facebook. Well, guess what? You're on Facebook and you're using Linux. Now, I'm going to expand this out just a bit. And, you know, look at that. You're on Facebook. You might say, well, yeah, but what about Amazon? What if I wanted to go to Amazon.com and buy a whole bunch of stuff? Well, guess what? You're on Amazon. I know I'm being a little facetious, but you get the idea. If you can use Windows XP, you can use Linux Mint. All right? Now, set up your mail client, use your web browser. Check this out. Software Manager. Let's go to Software Manager, and once it comes up, here's what you'll notice. You have tons of software that you can choose, and it gives you a few featured options here. But now I want to show you something really neat. Let's say Wine. Notice Microsoft Windows compatibility layer. I'm going to pick that by just double clicking it, and it says not installed. What does that tell you? You're right, it's not installed. But what is this button over here? Install. What do you think that'll do? I know I'm being really facetious here, but I want you to see how simple this is. Click install, and then down here at the bottom, you will notice an ongoing action as this bar goes across the screen. Now, you know, it's at 2% right now. It's going to take a little while because Wine is a fairly large program. But Wine is an acronym for Windows, for Wine is not an emulator, okay? Wine is not an emulator. But in fact, it really kind of is an emulator. It's a compatibility layer. It basically allows all the API calls that software might make that runs on Windows to run under Linux. Now, it's not completely magical. Okay, I wish it was. Where I could just tell you, you install Wine and you'll be able to install any Windows program ever. You won't have to worry about it. Everything you want to use will run. Maybe not so much. Okay. It will run a lot of Windows software. It really will. And it is very good. As a matter of fact, it's gotten better and better and better through the years. Notice it's got a 4-star rating out of 5. That's pretty good, okay? But it's not perfect. It's emulating, or not emulating, depending on how you want to look at it. But the point is, it does work. And what I've used it for is installing eSword. As you know, it's one of my very favorite applications. It is a Windows-only application, but I use it under Linux completely.
All right. You see how simple and easy that was? I mean, come on, folks. You can do it. And once you get them over onto Linux, which, as I say, I encourage you to use Linux Mint because it's very easy. As you can see, it was quite easy to navigate. Then you will be a hero in the eyes of those who understand the need and the purpose for moving to a secure operating system now that XP has gone to its reward. Right. All right, speaking of a need to move on to Linux, the Heartbleed bug is running rampant across the interwebs. It's a bad thing. Here's what I say about it. The big news this week in the tech world is the Heartbleed exploit. OpenSSL is used by many websites to secure their web traffic. Secure Socket Layers, or SSL, provides encryption for websites to encrypt and protect the flow of data. However, open source this week is taking it on the chin from a lot of corners that were already opposed to open source in the first place. The accusation is that because OpenSSL is an open source project and that so many people have their eyes on the source code, that it's allowing exploits to be developed, when in fact, just the opposite is actually true. The more eyes that are on the source code, the easier it is to find holes and patch them. However, as my colleague at work that I've chosen to call Joe Bob, not his real name, says, anything created by man is inherently flawed. And that's true. No matter how wonderful the programmers are on open source projects, they can leave holes and make mistakes. It happens, okay? So don't worry. It's being patched. It's being patched all around the internet. But in the meantime, change your passwords. Which leads us to the next item. Next item is LastPass, my very favorite password manager that I use personally and has been a Geek Software of the Week. LastPass has announced a new feature in the wake of the Heartbleed exploit, and that is you can go to a website, go into LastPass security panel, and click to check to see if that website has an exposure, so to speak, for Heartbleed, and then it allows you to immediately change your password to a new, you know, highly unguessable generated password that LastPass can give you, and then LastPass will save it in your database, your LastPass database, so that it will be secure, okay? So definitely, if you're not using LastPass, go ahead, download it, install it, and start using it, because you can at least find out through LastPass if a site has been compromised through the Heartbleed exploit, and go ahead and change your password. Speaking of new features, that was a new feature for LastPass. New feature for LinkedIn. LinkedIn has announced new features. The LinkedIn system will now notify you of open positions at your own company. And you may say, well, what good is that? Well, a lot of companies aren't good about letting their, you know, their constituent employees know that openings are available, maybe in different departments or whatever. And so you don't get wind of it, and so LinkedIn is letting you know, hey, guess what? There's an opening available right at your own company. So, you know, you don't lose your accumulated time, you know, over time you get more vacation or whatever, that kind of thing. You don't lose those kinds of benefits, and yet you might go into a new position that might pay more money. Ha ha. So, pretty cool. They've also added two major enhancements that are mostly aimed at recruiters. They've updated the recruiter profile page, and they have new mobile apps that are aimed at recruiters as well. So that's kind of an eh. But, okay. You know, if you're a recruiter, you're probably like, dude, that's cool. Rest of us, eh. Anyway, Heartbleed just keeps on getting more news. There's more ink rolling out there. Boy, that dates me. There's no ink out there in the news anymore anyway. It's all on websites. Anyway, Heartbleed is hitting Cisco and Juniper hard. Whoa. I see in the article here, but wait, there's more. Heartbleed isn't through with us yet. It turns out that the exploit also affects networking gear from Cisco and Juniper. Heartbleed has already affected popular web and e-commerce sites, Now it seems that many of Cisco's products use a version of the OpenSSL package as well. So in a press release, they said this could, quote, allow an unauthenticated remote attacker to retrieve memory and chunks of 64 kilobytes from a connected client or server. That would be bad. Okay. Juniper has posted a high alert on their support page with similar information. Infected networking hardware is not as easy to fix as a simple software patch in many cases. In fact, in some cases, the upgrade is going to require buying new hardware. This is because the code is actually embedded in the chips within some of the hardware. Now, as you might imagine, this is not going over well with people that have this hardware. Because now they got to buy new hardware because of the exploit. Not good. And the next item, Twitter adds real-time notification. This is if you're using Twitter on the web page, it will notify you, you got another tweet, and also allow you to immediately reply and retweet and all those kinds of things. They're planning to roll this feature out over the next couple of weeks. So, not bad. New feature, cool. Lots of new features talked about this week, so that's kind of interesting. Was it the week before? Anyway, I don't know. NAB, the National Association of Broadcasters. Yes. And of course, I am an internet broadcaster, as you well know. I have a camera right here in front of me. And it's a Canon Vixia. Okay. But this week at the NAB, there was a whole lot of new hardware and software talked about and released. Dude, you should go to tpn.tv, which I'll put there on the screen. Go there and check out all the interviews and all the reviews and all the things they did there at NAB, National Association of Broadcasters Convention. tpn.tv, lots of good stuff. A lot of the TPN podcasters were there doing reports, really good stuff. Also, there was some good coverage over at geekbeat.tv. Callie Lewis and John P. over there. I love watching them. They're a lot of fun. And matter of fact, on the last live show on Friday, which was yesterday as I record this, I was in there, you know, sending stuff in the chat room. And John P. was going, Dr. Bill Bailey, who's this dude? Won't you come home? You know, and I'm like, yeah, right. And Callie's like, what do you mean? What won't you come home? What is that about? She's too young to know about the song. Oh, well. Anyway, I told them on the chat room, I said, I am home. I'm sitting at home. I had the day off work, and so I was sitting there watching and thoroughly enjoying it. It was a lot of fun. Anyway, but GeekBeat has good coverage as well of NAB, and particularly, I want you to go and check out the Blackmagic Designs new cameras. Dude, I was blown away by these cameras. They are studio cameras, broadcast quality studio cameras. And they had a standard HD camera for under $2,000. Dude. Now, when I say standard HD, I'm talking 1080p HD, okay? They've got an Ultra HD camera coming next few months, which Ultra HD is what some people call 4K, which is hugely resolution awesomeness. So anyway, they've got that. That's going to be under $6,000. I mean, you know, okay, for you and me, that's a lot of money. You know, my camera was around $500. But for a studio camera, broadcast quality studio camera, you know, 3-chip official camera, dude, it's awesome. So great price point on that. Great features. Really, really great features. You need to check it out. Whoa! Yes, Fred! Geek Software of the Week time! Fred loves to play the drum roll. Fred's my virtual friend who helps me out on such things. Way to go, Fred. I appreciate you. I really do. No, really. Anyway, Geek Software of the Week this week. Jesus, I think is how this is pronounced. I can't even pronounce pronounced. Well, ESUS, partition Master Free. See, now I'm so hyper aware of my pronunciation that I'm getting tongue-tied. Anyway, what this is a partition for your hard drive mastering device software thing. Wow. Partition Manager, Partition Recovery, Disk, and Partition Copy. It is free for home users. Now, if you're a commercial user, you got to pay. Understand. But it is all-in-one free disk partition management tool. It comes highly recommended by many folks, including CNET, who's given it 5 stars. That's pretty good. Free and easy to use wizard allows professional and reliable disk management. Free disk partition management tool allows you to extend system partitions, settle low disk space problems, manage disk space easily on MBR and GUID. G-U-I-D, group user ID. GUID. I love GUID. It's fun to pronounce it that way. Partition table, GPT disks. Okay? Lots and lots of features. If you're looking for a free partition manager, this is one you can check out. Can't be free, right? So anyway, trust you enjoyed the show this week. Join us next time, and remember until then that the doctor is out of here. Dr. Bill, the computer curmudgeon, is a production of DrBillBailey.net with all the honors, rights, and privileges thereunto appertaining.